This is Audible.
You're listening to the audio production of Finish First, Winning Changes Everything by Scott Hamilton with Allison Fallon, published by Thomas Nelson and read by Scott Hamilton.
Forward by me, Donald Miller. If you finish first, your friends may become jealous, your family might think you've gotten too big for your britches, and your competition might put a target on your back. So it's better not to compete. Better, that is, for your friends, your family, and your competition. But it's not better for you. Many years ago, I weighed 387 pounds, had little to no social life, could barely pay my rent, and spent countless hours feeling sorry for myself. There were many reasons for these things, but one of the main reasons was I felt an internal resistance to approaching life with a competitive mindset. Why? Because there were too many people around who preferred me in the slow lane. The reality is people are comfortable with you where you are. Your lack of success makes them feel safe and predictable because you serve as a point of reference for how much better their situation is than yours. Inside, you likely know if you start moving up, your sense of security in their ecosystem will be threatened, so you stay. But are you satisfied? Losing as a means to survive socially is the stuff of a sad life. It's sad because the best thing that can happen to your friends, your family, and even your competition is for you to succeed. Yes, it may disrupt the ecosystem for a moment, but soon after you switch into a faster lane, the horns will stop honking, the middle fingers will descend, and people will begin to accept the new and improved you. And the friends worth keeping around will begin to improve their lives, too. Successful people set the pace for the rest of us. I've known Scott Hamilton for years now. There is no better coach for anybody wanting to learn how to win. He's the kind of man who will pick somebody up when they've fallen on the ice. He knows that it's only the 4,756th try that you stick the landing. When you imagine a winner, if you think of an angry coach disappointed in your performance or a cocky athlete holding a trophy in one arm and your girlfriend in the other, you've never met the right winner, the one who can help you finish first. Scott's drive to finish first extends beyond his accomplishments as a gold medal figure skater. He has three times beat cancer. He and his wife have taken on poverty in rural Haitian villages. He has transformed the lives of his coworkers, family, and friends by instilling in them a robust sense of hope and personal agency in the face of adversity. What makes Scott unique is that he will go with you into your self-pity, comfort you as you cry, and bring understanding to your deepest places of shame. But he will not leave you there. He has learned that succumbing to the darkness is nobody's calling. This book reveals his belief that anybody can finish first, and that competition is a food that nurtures lions. In this book, you will gain a willingness and even eagerness to compete. And competition is transformative. In letting go of my fear to compete in life, I lost nearly 200 pounds, put multiple books on the New York Times bestsellers list, started a family, paid off my mother's house, started a mentoring organization, served on a presidential advisory board, and built a multi-million dollar business. My life got better when I realized my success was tied directly to the well-being of others, and it wasn't going to hurt anybody, especially myself. Share this book with your coworkers, your team, and your family. Agree with each other that competition is not bad, and when done with a generous spirit, brings out the best in all of us. All this said, however, I can't end this forward without being completely honest. I've still never finished first at anything. The highest any of my books have gotten on the bestsellers list is number 5. And while my company is a success, I have countless friends whose companies are bigger. I don't have a single trophy. And I've never even beaten my wife at checkers. She is ridiculously good at that stupid game. But I don't let it bother me. Why? Because it's too fun to keep trying. If a competitive spirit eludes you, may this book inspire you to compete and to try with all that is in you to finish first. I'll race you.
This book is dedicated to everyone who has suffered the pain of personal failure, desires success, and is looking for direction forward. I hope it gives you the strength to rise up and finish first. Introduction. Winning does change everything. I know you know that, but how, you might ask? Consider the classic story of David and Goliath. We all know the story of how the little shepherd boy who, even though he was too young and too small, stood up to a giant and against all odds defeated him. Then came opportunity. The Philistine army had a giant and they wanted to resolve the war with one battle. Goliath, the Philistine against Israel's best, winner take all. Whoever lost would surrender and become slaves to the other. There wasn't one soldier in Israel's army who had the courage to stand up to this 9.5-foot giant. But then a small shepherd boy stood up and said that he would. He knew the reward for winning the battle would change his life forever. Even though his brothers scoffed and belittled him, even though King Saul reminded David he was small and too young, David knew this was his chance and was willing to risk it all for a chance at a better life. There aren't many people on the planet who don't know that story. What we don't talk about is what happened next. After that victory, David's life became a photo negative of what it was before. Before he stood up to Goliath, he had the lowly job of looking after a few sheep with no real expectation of anything else. Okay, so the prophet Samuel knew that he would someday be king, but no one else in his life ever thought anything of David or his future. He went on to become the greatest king of his lifetime. And if you know scripture, you know his life still has an impact today. Could this be you? Do you have the feeling that you have as many things going against you as David? That family, friends, and the people closest to you are always telling you why you can't do something? That your dreams are out of reach? As children growing up, we have fantasies of winning the game or the award or the recognition that we know would make us feel good about ourselves. As we grow up, we all would love to make straight A's on our report cards. We know that would make our parents proud, and we would earn higher respect from our teachers. Those A's build trust to make the next A easier to achieve. Academic success in high school makes it easier to get into a better college. Getting into a better college means getting a better job and everything that comes with it. Better opportunities mean better financial security. With more financial security comes a better lifestyle and a much better quality of life. With personal success, our children have more opportunities, and so on. Making the choice to finish first will change the trajectory and quality of your life, and will change everything. Here's how. Chapter 1. Why you aren't a winner yet. Winning is not a sometime thing. It is an all-the-time thing. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Vince Lombardi. I have some bad news for you. You are not born a winner. You may have been told somewhere along the way that you were. Maybe your parents said that you were number one, no matter what you did. Or maybe a high school coach said all you needed to do to get the trophy was show up in the uniform and play a few innings. But those empty promises may have robbed you of one of your most victorious moments. They may have stolen the best you have to offer to yourself and to the world. I was not born a winner, and neither were you. That might seem like a harsh thing to say, but it is actually the kindest, most important gift that I can give you. Winning is not about getting an award or a medal or making a certain amount of money. Winning is about accessing all of your innate human potential. You cannot be born a winner, but you can become one. What a tragedy that so many of us don't. There might be a part of you that resists this, that wants to fight to keep the winning status you feel you've earned but haven't worked to achieve. And then there's another part of you, I'm convinced, that is whispering to you right now that you have so much untapped potential, skill, and tenacity, and talent the world is yet to see. What will it take for you to unlock the champion trapped inside of you? What will it take for you to choose to finish first? My unimpressive beginnings. I wish you could have seen me at the beginning of my figure skating career. If you had been there watching like a fly on the wall, you wouldn't have seen the person I am today. You would have seen someone else entirely. You would have seen a version of me that was more familiar with losing than he was with winning, who was terrified to make the sacrifices he knew it would take to become a winner, and who wondered if any of the work was even worth it. Winning has changed everything for me. It can change everything for you, too. In the world of figure skating, I tell people that if you're a woman and you win, you're really good. If you're a man and you don't meddle, you should probably think about doing something else. Still, for some reason, I kept skating even when I continually found myself in last place. That is a decision I will never fully understand, and yet I'm grateful I made it. Despite all the losing I endured, I knew there was a champion inside of me yet to be revealed. My first year at the novice level, the lowest level for men's competitive figure skating to qualify for the U.S. National Championships, I didn't even make it to the National Championships, let alone win a medal. My parents were always supportive and made continual sacrifices to keep me skating without any expectation of success. But I realized at one point that if I was going to find a way to the winner's circle, I would have to take a different approach. When I was 13 years old, my parents decided to move me to a new training facility as a last-ditch effort to see if something would click for me there. Wagon Wheel had a long track record for success. The facility wasn't cheap, and my parents weren't rich by any means, but they were relentlessly committed to helping me find my way in skating because they saw the health benefits it provided me in the midst of a world where the scales had been tipped against me. I was an unwanted child, given up at birth by my biological mother and adopted at 6 weeks of age by my parents. I like to say that I remember it like it was yesterday. On top of that, I battled a rare and undiagnosed childhood illness that started at the age of 4 and came with all kinds of unpleasant symptoms. The worst of the symptoms was stunted growth, which left me shorter and smaller than all of my classmates. I remember being teased and bullied. If you feel like you came into this life so far behind the starting line that you shouldn't even consider winning, you're not alone. Most people feel like the obstacles and challenges in their way are too big. They may even feel like they have been set up to fail before trying. We tend to be focused on what everyone else has that we don't. Money, status, size, athleticism, access, relationships, and so on. And forget that the list of qualities it takes to be a winner has far more to do with what's inside of us than what is outside of us. Most of my young life was consumed with hospital visits and doctor's appointments, and after years, we still didn't have any answers. I can only imagine how frustrated and discouraged my parents must have been, wondering if their son was ever going to be healthy and happy like the other kids. By the time I was 9 years old, my parents were physically and emotionally depleted. Then, at the advice of our family physician, who insisted they take a morning off each week, my parents sent me to Saturday morning learn-to-skate classes at the brand-new skating rink at Bowling Green State University. Like most skaters, my first steps on the ice were tentative and frightening. I spent most of that first morning holding onto the wall. I would find moments of bravery when I could let go for a brief time, but honestly, I held on more often than not. Over the next weeks, I was able to get all the way around the ice without touching the wall. Soon, I was skating as well as the healthy kids. Soon after that, I was skating as well as the best athletes in my grade. Self-esteem is a powerful force, and now I had it for the very first time in my life. I was small, my energy ran low, and I struggled with the effects of my undiagnosed illness. But skating offered me exactly what I needed. The cool, moist air helped with my lung condition, and the constant movement helped me with my ability to digest food properly. The more I focused on skating, the less my body seemed to be in direct opposition to me. I started practicing and getting better. I began competing some and improving. Still, for all those first years of skating, I was underachieving. You might be wondering, so what if you were underachieving? Why should it even matter? If skating was helping your symptoms, if it was bringing you joy, why should it matter if you win a gold medal? My answer to those questions is that if I'd never found a way to finish first in skating and the rest of my life, none of the other amazing, miraculous things I've experienced would have happened. As Vince Lombardi once said, winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. What it means to finish first. To me, winning is not about holding a gold medal, losing 20 pounds, getting a promotion, or seeing my name on a plaque. In fact, I won a gold medal in 1984, and it lived in a brown paper bag in my underwear drawer for years. I resisted the natural urge to worship the idol of that success. What I found to be more interesting was what I was becoming in the process of achieving the unthinkable. When I think about finishing first, I'm not talking just about beating your competition. To finish first is to understand what you have to offer the world and then to be the best you can be at offering exactly that. It means understanding your life purpose and putting your whole heart into being the best at what you do. It means to break through your perceived limitations, overcome the barriers that stand in your way, and make the biggest impact in the world you are capable of making. The general consensus of our culture seems to think that winning doesn't matter, that there's no point to trying hard because in the end, none of it really matters. Instead of acknowledging who has won and who has lost, we hand out participation trophies and give everyone a ribbon before sending them home. Our fear of winning and losing has created an entire generation of entitled, apathetic, surefire losers. We haven't even stopped to consider the fact that losing might not hurt anyone. What if by shielding people in this way, we're stealing the transformational power of both winning and losing in their lives? The irony is that if you believe nothing matters in life, you will live a life that doesn't matter. We have never been more confused as a culture about winning and losing, what it really takes and why it matters. And yet I meet people every day who are hungry for more and desperate for something deeper, something better than the mediocre life they are living. The path to victory is precisely the thing that will open the door to the purpose they most crave. Maybe to you it seems arrogant or selfish to think of yourself on a podium. You are trained to hold the door open for others, to be kind, thoughtful, sacrificial, and helpful. You are taught that the last would be first. Nothing is wrong with any of that. And as an Olympic athlete, I can say with confidence that the best way to help people, maybe even the only way to help anyone, is to start chipping away at the part of you that worries you don't have much to offer. Become someone who is worthy of winning, and you'll have a wider, greater impact than you ever dreamed possible. In addition to this idea that winners are selfish and losers are the good guys, we also have the idea that winners and losers are pre-selected, and that doesn't feel fair. Yes, some of us are born with more resources than others, more access, more opportunities, but only one qualification makes someone more likely to win. They choose to win. The number one predictor for whether you will be a winner is if you decide to be one. It's a choice only you can make, and once you make it, nothing will be able to stop you. The odds of me becoming an Olympic champion were slim to none. Less than slim to none, actually. It was not even on my radar. It wasn't on my parents' radar either. Yet my path to victory did something even more powerful than I could have predicted. Winning reshaped who I was as a person, helped shape the world I live in, and even healed my physical body. Finishing first has opened doors for me to help others. It's given me a new lens through which to see my pain. It's helped me face the challenges of life with integrity and perseverance. What if winning could do the same for you? Are you done being a loser? When I moved to the wagon wheel in 1972, my skating immediately began to improve. I was surrounded by people who were better skaters than I was and had access to more experienced coaches. Everything and everyone began calling me to a higher standard. My work ethic improved, and I started to see myself as being able to hold my own with my competition. I even made it to the national championships that year. The problem was, at nationals, I fell 5 times and came in dead last. Dead last. Talk about losing. At least when I lose, I go in all the way. Of all losers, I proved to be the best. Looking back, I can't help but think how important all of this losing was in terms of preparing me for my future success. This is something few people talk about. How much losing really goes into winning. If there were a recipe for winning, losing would be the main ingredient. Just when you think you've added too much, add some more. You'll be hard-pressed to find a champion who hasn't had more than an average amount of losing in his or her story, myself included. And yet I meet people all the time who worry they've been disqualified from winning because they've lost so many times. Are you kidding? Losing is your greatest asset, and I'll talk more about that in Chapter 8. When I meet people who aren't losing enough, I immediately wonder why they haven't taken more risks, who has been insulating them from the possibility of failure, and what potential they still have hidden inside of them. Of course losing is embarrassing. It's humiliating. But it also fuels us. It changes us. It humbles us. And it plants in us the character we need to sustain the long-term kind of achievement we crave. If you're sick of losing, you're in the right place. What I'm about to share with you is a way to live that can help you become the winner you may have only dreamed you could be one day. When I think about what happened that year at Nationals, all I can say is that I choked. It was my shot, and I blew it. You've probably had a moment like this, a moment where none of your excuses held up anymore, and you knew that losing could only be your own fault. That was me at the end of Nationals that year. And as I sat in the embarrassment of that moment, I realized something important. I didn't want to be a loser anymore. In fact, there was a specific moment I made this decision. It was after the competition, and I was at a victory party for Gordy McKellen, the men's national champion of that year. We were all relaxing, having a good time. At one point, one of the other skaters my age looked over at me. "Hey, go grab me a beer," he said, pointing to the open cooler. "Why don't you grab your own beer?" I asked, a little confused about why he was bothering me for something he was perfectly capable of doing himself. He looked back at me, and then back at the beer, and then back at me. "Because you have nothing to lose. I do," he said. Suddenly I got it. Never have I felt the weight of losing so heavily, and never had it been more clear to me. I was over this. I was done being a loser. I didn't care what it took or how much it cost me. I was ready to be the kind of person worthy of the position I desired. I was ready to do the work. I was ready to change from the inside out. I was ready to become a winner. What I didn't know at that point was that I wasn't done losing yet. Your path to victory. When I think back on my move to Wagon Wheel, I realize that this was the first big shift for me in my competitive career, and that it never would have happened if I had started out even moderately successful. If I had made it to Nationals the year that I didn't, for example, my parents never would have invested the resources for me to go to Wagon Wheel. I would have just stayed where I was. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about how many things had to go wrong in your life for you to end up exactly where you are? This is important because a lot of people wonder why the United States isn't as competitive in skating as it used to be. And I believe it's because we've lowered the bar as far as who goes to the national championships. The best possible thing that could have happened to me was not making it. It changed the way I approached my skating and my commitment to get better. By allowing anyone who wants to compete to go to Nationals, we are robbing all skaters of developing that burning desire to win. I say this to point out that no matter where you are today, this is your path to victory. It will be paved with so much disappointment, so much failure. You will question yourself and question your path. This is part of the process. I often meet people who have a list of reasons why they will never be successful. They list their failures, their critics, and their setbacks. They talk to me about how they've wasted time. They tell me it's too late, and I tell them the same thing. The path to victory is the path you're on. It becomes a path to victory the moment you decide it does. You think that doing what it takes to win will be miserable, but the real misery comes when you lose because you weren't willing to do the simple things it takes to become a champion. Honestly, I'm grateful for all of my losing. Without that experience, I wouldn't have had any idea why it matters so much to be a winner. And I wouldn't know any of what I'm about to tell you about how you could become the winner you wondered if it was even possible for you to be. Chapter 2. Know Your Purpose. The purpose of life is not to be happy, but to matter, to be productive, to be useful, to have it make some difference that you lived at all. Leo Rostin. What were you made to do that you aren't doing? You get a glimpse into your purpose by paying attention to the things you love, what you're good at, and where opportunities are open for you. When you're a skater, you skate. When you're a writer, you write. When you're a teacher, you teach. And you do those things with everything you have because when your purpose presents itself, you owe it to yourself to follow through. I get excited by the kind of person I know you will become when you give up your excuses and start uncovering what you've been capable of all this time. I get excited by the kind of impact you will be able to have when you stop playing small, when you get out of your own way, when you're ready to be done holding back and to become all you were made to be. I get excited by inspiring every individual I meet to access his or her great potential so that the world doesn't miss what he or she brings to the table. This is what finishing first is about for me. It's not about proving yourself or beating your competition, but about accessing your deep purpose. What is your unique purpose? Do you know? If you do know, have you taken any time to stop and make sure you're doing what you were put here to do? My faith tells me that everything is meaningful, that nothing happens by accident. You are here for a reason. If you don't know that reason yet, you are probably struggling and miserable. What you really want. You hear life coaches and inspirational gurus say all the time, nothing is out of your reach. But I have a problem with that statement. It's not that I disagree. I don't. It's just that too many of us move through the world with a sense of entitlement, thinking we should be able to have whatever we want whenever we want it, and that it should be handed to us on a silver platter without us having to pay for it. What I've learned over time is that it's mostly unhelpful to tell people that they can do whatever they want because most of us have no idea what we truly want. What we think we want isn't what we want at all, and what we really want is to fulfill our purpose. We all have a unique purpose. Exodus 9:16 says, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." There is a greater purpose at work than your personal happiness or satisfying your ego. Sometimes we resist our purpose because it doesn't seem convenient or because it doesn't look cool on Instagram. But you can't argue against your purpose. Michael Jordan, although one of the best basketball players of all time, will never do a backflip on ice skates. And I will never dunk a basketball. Purpose is the difference between a pipe dream and a goal worth all the sacrifice it will take to get it. Purpose is the difference between your ego telling you to do something and God telling you to do it. Purpose is the difference between waiting around for your big break and understanding what it actually takes to make you a champion. Each of us was put here with a unique and specific purpose, and that purpose will drive us toward our goal if we can determine what it is. For most people, the answer comes to mind right away. But if you're having trouble, my guess is that it's because your purpose is being drowned by the sound of the critics in the back of your mind telling you that you're too tall or too short, or that you don't have the background or the training or the pedigree to do what you were made to do. Let me be the first to say that if you were made to do something, none of those qualifications matter. I'm a prime example of this. Have you ever seen the popular movie Rudy, about the Notre Dame football player Rudy Rudiger? It's an amazing story and another perfect example of what I'm talking about. Rudy was told he was too small to play football, that he was not smart enough, and that he'd never make it on the team. At first glance, you might say Rudy's critics were right. He was too small to play football, he was only 5'6", nearly a foot shorter than some of his teammates, and only 165 pounds. But Rudy wasn't willing to accept this as his final answer. He knew his purpose was to play Notre Dame football. So he chipped away at his weaknesses. Little by little, one by one, he put in the work, more work than most of his teammates, and finally earned his way onto the field. He was never going to be the best player, but that didn't matter. Nothing was going to stop Rudy from achieving his goal. Not his critics, not his brothers, not his dad, not even his coach. Rudy's goal wasn't to become the greatest player of all time. His goal was to prove to himself that with heart and dedication, you can really achieve anything you set out to do. And Rudy proved to all of us that when you know your purpose, there are no limits to what the human spirit can achieve. Sometimes our purpose is obvious. Michael Phelps was built to be a swimmer. Michael Jordan was built to be a basketball player. Sometimes our purpose is less obvious. Was I built to be an ice skater? Not necessarily, but I wasn't willing to give up, and neither was Rudy. What we shared was a deep knowledge that nothing could get in the way of us achieving our purpose on this planet. If you know your purpose, nothing can stop you either. If you don't know your purpose, here are some questions to ask yourself. What do you love to do? When are you happiest, most excited, and most engaged in what you're doing? What are you gifted to do? And how can you turn that into something meaningful for your life and for the world? Some people argue that they don't have a gift or that the only thing they love to do is sit around and hang out with their friends. My pushback to them is always to dig a little deeper. Are you naturally good at telling and understanding stories? Pay attention to that. Are you 7 feet tall? That's significant. Are you naturally good with children? That's a gift. Lean into it. If we can stop for a moment and be quiet, we can hear through the noise of the world and take stock of our natural gifts and capabilities. There, we find our greatest purpose. Try something new. Maybe you haven't discovered your unique purpose yet. Or maybe you're really close, but you need to make the smallest shift to the right or to the left. Maybe your purpose is down a completely different path than the one you've been walking. Or maybe it's right in front of you or behind you, and you just need a new way to look at it. If what you've been doing isn't working or isn't working as well as you want it to, or if you're just not having fun, consider the option that it might be time to try something new. My friend Sterling Ball, you may know him if you purchased his Ernie Ball guitar strings, is a legendary figure in the music world. An award-winning bass designer, industry leader, and accomplished bass player who performs with his friends Albert Lee, Steve Lukather, and Steve Morse. If you're a guitar player, you know who this man is because his reputation precedes him. But despite Sterling's obvious success in the world of music, there came a point when he realized there was something else he wanted to do that had nothing to do with music. It was something with which he had very little experience, but something he was passionate about. He wanted to enter the world of competition barbecue. As a newcomer to the industry, he had a lack of experience going against him, but he did his research, and he knew the world of barbecue was massively underserved. In fact, he had two things to bring to the table that he knew were missing. One, he could apply his marketing skills to an industry that wasn't utilizing broad marketing. Two, he saw that he could leverage his passion for cooking in a unique way to an industry that needed more innovation. To try something new, we have to be willing to check our egos at the door. We have to move out from under what is comfortable and be willing to take the risk of being bad at something or making fools of ourselves or letting people ask those questions like, barbecue? Why barbecue? When they ask that, we can say, because it's fun. The results of his commitment and participation came quickly. Within months of coming on the scene, Sterling had secured the American Royal Invitational Award, one of the most prestigious awards in barbecue. Now he's ranked as one of the top 25 most influential people in barbecue. Not to mention, in his spare time, he developed a line of championship rubs. He's changing the world one delicious bite at a time, all because he was willing to try something new. We all have something to offer. And that's what finishing first is about at the end of the day. Making sure we're offering exactly what we have to offer, no more, no less. Even when things aren't exactly going your way, when it seems like you are the least likely candidate for success, when it seems like everybody else is getting there while you are lagging behind, remember your purpose. Remember to check your ego at the door. Remember that if you're willing to put in the work, you'll have a firm foundation of character to stand on when you reach your victory. There is no way this world will miss what you have to give it. Our family just came back from Disney World, and I spent some time while I was in the park just sitting, looking at people, paying attention. As I looked around at the crowds of people, I found myself thinking about how every person in that park has an incredible story to tell. You have an incredible story to tell. Some nugget of wisdom to share. Some gift that the world needs you to give. There were so many people in the park that we had friends there from Nashville, and we didn't bump into any of them all week. Imagine the crowds. And within those crowds were hundreds of thousands of beautiful stories, beautiful lives, undiscovered talents and gifts and successes. Who of us doesn't want to look back on our days here on this planet and feel that we fulfilled our purpose, that we didn't take a pass on the gifts buried deep inside of us? If each of us decided today that we're going to be a little more productive, a little more sacrificial, a little more selfless, a little more kind, a little more forgiving, and a little more hardworking, the planet would change in an instant. That's the kind of victory I'm pulling for. That's what it would look like for us to finish first. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." If you want to know your purpose, look to God, who promises he will reveal it to you. It's always in his timing. When we fix our eyes on him, he takes even the worst parts of our story and uses them for his greater good, his greater glory. It doesn't matter how far behind the starting line you think you are here to reflect his goodness and grace. Chapter 3. Break the Pattern of Losing. The battle of life is, in most cases, fought uphill, and to win it without struggle were perhaps to win it without honor. If there were no difficulties, there would be no success. If there were nothing to struggle for, there would be nothing to be achieved. Samuel Smiles, author and politician. If I had to write a dating profile for myself, and I was being honest, it would read, "Short, bald, half-neutered, chemoed, radiated, retired male figure skater of unknown ethnic origin, seeks a beautiful, intelligent woman for long walks, laughter, and an interest in my hobby for collecting life-threatening illnesses. And yet somehow, I'm married to a beautiful, incredible woman who loves me. I have 4 great kids and an Olympic gold medal, which you'll be happy to know is no longer hidden in my sock drawer. It's in the World Figure Skating Museum and Hall of Fame in Colorado Springs, in case you want to go look at it." If that's not an advertisement of how we are not defined by our challenges, I don't know what is. And yet, for many of us, our pattern of losing gets in the way of our greatest potential before we even give winning a chance. Losing is so much more familiar to us than winning. In fact, for most of us, I think losing is all we know. It's easier. It's comfortable. Very little is expected of those who lose. And the more we lose, the more we expect to lose, which sets us up for more losing. When we expect something to happen, for the most part, it happens. No wonder you keep losing. You see yourself as someone who constantly loses. Can you relate to this? No matter how hard you work, no matter how many diet programs you try, no matter how many hours you put in at the office, you keep falling short. After all of that effort and all of the negative results over and over again, of course you would lose motivation to keep trying. That mentality is only natural. But what if you could move beyond what is natural to something supernatural? What if you could defy all odds to achieve your greatest, most hidden potential? When it came to breaking my own pattern of losing, it didn't happen overnight. After my devastating loss at Nationals, I made the firm decision that things were going to be different for me from then on out. I was never going to be in last place again. But when I arrived at Nationals the following year, with all my renewed determination, I finished 9th out of 10. The year after that, I moved up to the junior level, figuring, what's the worst that could happen? I went with a double axel in my arsenal, convinced that it was going to be my chance to move up the ranks. When it came time, I gave what I felt was a solid performance. I came in 7th of 9. The pattern of losing can be broken, but not without a serious shift in mentality and focus. Without the right train of thought, you are doomed to be stuck in your losing pattern forever. But the smallest shift can have a seismic impact. With a few small perspective changes, you might be able to access the winner lying asleep deep within you. Did you know that Oprah Winfrey was fired from her first television job? This was years before becoming the first black woman to host a television program in Nashville, Tennessee. What changed for Oprah? What shifted that helped her move from such a terrible loss to become the legendary figure she is today? What if Oprah had taken her pattern of losing as a sign that she wasn't meant to be on television in the first place? What about Michael Jordan, who admits to losing 300 games in his career? What if Jordan had let his pattern of losing define who he was? What if he had gotten stuck in that pattern of losing so that he never became a winner? Did you know Dick Cheney dropped out of college only later to become the 46th Vice President of the United States? What shifted for Cheney that helped him leverage his losses and get out of his pattern of losing? What would the world be like if these revolutionary figures hadn't broken their patterns of losing? What would we have missed as a culture if they hadn't moved past the obvious barriers in front of them and defied all odds to win? When life circumstances spin out of your control, when it seems like the entire world is conspiring against you to keep you losing over and over again, you have two choices. You can accept what is. That is an understandable choice. An ordinary path. A natural way of thinking about things. Or you can choose a different route. The other way is not natural at all. It's far more challenging. It will take your breath away. It will also change your whole life. It will change the whole world. Are you ready? Running out of time. Shortly after I finished 7th of 9 at Nationals, my parents sat me down and told me that things were about to change. My mom was sick, they said, and we were running out of money. I had 1 year left in skating. Suddenly, everything that had mattered so much before didn't matter anymore. I wasn't interested in protecting myself from failure or in messing around or wasting more time. There wasn't enough time to be wasting. Few things shake you out of your pattern of losing like tragedy. As I sat there and let the words they were saying sink in, I thought about how unfair it was that she was the one who was sick. She was such a special person. She had always believed in me no matter what. She had sacrificed everything to make sure I could keep skating. All of a sudden, I realized how selfish it had been for me to be underachieving the way I was. There wasn't much time left for me to prove I was worth all the sacrifice she had made. This was the wake-up call I needed. It's interesting how this happens. How when life takes the left turn we didn't expect, we suddenly discover the strength, resilience, and power that has been inside us all along. Maybe there is a way for us to get this wake-up call without having to get the wake-up call, if you know what I mean. As soon as I made the decision to get my act together, things started falling into place. This is so amazing to me how God works. All he needs is our willingness, and he does the rest. 2 Samuel 22:33 says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. When I look back over how my life has unfolded, I'm convinced God is the one who has made my way perfect. All I offered was the willingness to go wherever he called me to go. Shortly after the news came about my mom, the coach I'd been working with retired. This meant I inherited a new coach who was more strict than any coach I had worked with previously. In fact, he made it clear that if he was going to coach me, I would need to take it to the next level. It wasn't that I wasn't working hard. It's just that I knew I had more to give. This is the thing with human potential. We have far more to offer than we tend to realize we do. My new coach only worked with champions, and even though I wasn't there yet, I had to start acting like I was. He was a taskmaster, unforgiving. No student of his was going to be mediocre. I was no exception. In addition to him expecting more of me as a skater, I also started expecting more of myself. I began to rise to the occasion for maybe the first time in my career. Suddenly, it felt like time was pressing and that if I didn't take advantage of what was in front of me, I might miss my chance completely. There was a tangible, noticeable shift in me that year. I'll let you in on a little secret. There's a way to train that gets you results, and there's a way to train that looks like you're working hard but won't get you to the promised land of finishing first. Actually, my guess is that isn't much of a secret for you. We all have ways of cutting corners creatively so that no one will realize we aren't bringing our best selves to the table. For me, I would work sections of my program without going through the whole thing from start to finish. I did just enough so no one could accuse me of slacking, but I knew. As soon as I realized that running my programs all the way through would better prepare me for competition and, in fact, have a measurable impact on my performance, I became more intentional about doing it that way. Every time. It was harder, took more energy, and left me more tired at the end of the practice, but now I was committed to doing it. I was going to do whatever it took. A world-renowned Russian coach came up to me once and said, "So you run your programs all the way through every day?" I nodded. She said, "I tried to get my skaters to do that, but they got so tired." Yes, that is exactly the point. We haven't really given all we have to give until we've given all we have to give, until we finish practice with nothing left in our tank. 2 weeks before Nationals, I started landing my first triple. Who was this person who was suddenly acting like a winner? Something had changed, and for the first time ever, it felt like maybe the pattern of losing had been broken. I wasn't a loser anymore. I wasn't on the winner's podium yet, but somehow, some way, I started to believe that maybe I could be. When I travel and speak, I meet people all the time, usually folks in their 50s or 60s, who feel like they're running out of time. In fact, feeling like you're running out of time might just be the encouragement you need to get started. It's much easier when you're young and healthy to put off the things that matter to you most. You think you'll have endless time to make your life count. Then something shifts, and you realize there's no such thing as endless time. What a blessing. It's never too late to get started, no matter how late in life you choose to do it. Finishing first has immediate benefits. No matter what your age, how old or how young, it's time to stop thinking that time is going to last forever. This one life is the only life we get. This short amount of time is the only time we have. What will it take for us to see ourselves as the winners we are? What will it take for us to uncover our potential? The hunger to win. I know you want to be a person of value. You want to be the kind of person others think of when considering who they want on their teams. You want to have the kind of character that sets an example for everyone else in the room. But how do you go from someone who is constantly losing to someone worthy of the title winner? How do you gain the character, integrity, and work ethic it takes to withstand long-term success? I talked to my friend Mike Ruzzioni on the phone recently. Mike was the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, a team that beat the unbeatable Soviet national team to win the gold. This was a feat that would later be referred to as the Miracle on Ice. As I was telling Mike about this book, I asked him if he had any thoughts to share about becoming a winner. He said, "Most people make winning too complicated. This is not about magic fairy dust. It just comes back to a basic believing in yourself." Mike is right, and his advice is a thread that ties together thousands of stories of people who become champions despite the odds. People who end up winning do so because they decide they're going to do it. They have a hunger. They decide that they won't quit, that they won't allow anyone to take from them the thing they most want. They have made up their minds that they deserve it as much as anyone else. If you're questioning whether you deserve to win, let me ask you this. Why not you? If you don't win, it's going to be somebody else. Even if you think you don't have what it takes to win, you can decide that you do. Next time you look in the mirror and think about how you don't have the build, don't have the skills, or don't have the opportunities, remember me. Take one look at me. I was an unwanted child, sick most of my early life. My parents had limited income and weren't into athletics. They didn't always know the exact clinics I needed to attend or have connections to the best coaching. We lived in a small town and had limited access to resources. I came from limited financial means, so paying a high price for coaching was out of the question. My parents encouraged me to keep going out there, keep skating, but none of us knew what we were doing. The ingredients did not add up to me going to two Olympic Games and going undefeated for the 4 years in between. That position should have belonged to someone else, to someone born into an athletic family in a big city with great coaching and money to buy the best equipment, right? This is the proof that there is only one irreplaceable ingredient in the recipe of success. Hunger. How much do you want it? I meet people every day who want to win, but they don't necessarily say those words. Instead, they say things like, "I'm bored with my life," or "I feel like I could do more." They talk about being tired of the grind at work, having low energy, or wishing life were more exciting. They tell me about someone they love, something they've lost, or how life hasn't gone the way they planned. They wish they had the power to make a change. I just look at them and tell them they've got it, the hunger to win. I can only imagine that there's something on your mind right now, something you want that you haven't been able to get. I'm here to tell you that you can have it. First, you have to believe you're worthy of winning. A winning mindset is one that says, "I won't be denied. I won't allow myself to be taken off this path." It's a matter of deciding that you can't be talked out of a victory that is yours, no matter how many unforeseen circumstances try to derail you. You can accept the facts of your situation and also decide you aren't going to let them hold you back anymore. Here's something to think about. When it comes to the end of your life, what do you want people to say about you? What words do you want spoken at your funeral? Do you want people to say that you really put yourself out there, gave it your best shot? Or do you want people to say that you listened to your critics, let fear hold you back, and could have done more? Most of us settle for the latter. We're all dealt a different hand in this life. I don't know what hand you were dealt, but I know that the only thing we can do with our hand is play it, no bluffing. You can make the choice. You can either waste the opportunity you've been given, waste away in your regrets and failures, waste your gifts, waste your time and energy and effort, and wait for your participation ribbon. Or you can choose to finish first. Which will you choose? Real competition elevates everyone. In those early days when I was training at Wagon Wheel, I was surrounded by some of the most phenomenal athletes in the world. Obviously, I was the worst skater there. So why, after watching what the other skaters could do, didn't I feel like there's no way I'll ever be able to amount to anything? Instead, being there inspired me to believe I could do so much more than I was doing. Even though I wasn't living up to my full potential, I knew I could be. If they could do it, I thought to myself, why couldn't I? This is what winning does. Watching others succeed gave me permission to fantasize about my own version of finishing first. This is why it's so important for us to win according to our purpose. This isn't just about feeding our egos. It's about creating a world where the expectation is that you have much more to offer. You are capable of more than you're giving. I want my kids to grow up in this kind of world, not a watered-down world. Part of me wonders, in a world that seems so divided and divisive, if we're really at odds with one another, or if we're just feeling entitled and lazy. Maybe we're just so bored with our comfortable lives that we have to find something to fill our time. As humans, we are wired for challenge, so if we don't challenge ourselves, we'll find petty drama and arguments to keep us busy. Spend time around people who are truly working to bring the best versions of themselves to the world, and my guess is that we won't feel much like arguing anymore. You become like the people with whom you spend the most time. So it should be no surprise that spending time with people who beat me constantly didn't deter me from finishing first. Instead, it helped me access my own will to win. Why is it that we get so caught up with thinking that beating someone is bad for them? What if winning is the kindest, bravest, most helpful thing we can do? Healthy competition teaches us. It doesn't hold us back. It pushes us forward. When we bring our best selves to the competition, it challenges everyone to dig deep and discover their hidden talents, their buried tenacity, their untapped skill. You were put on this earth to do something amazing, something nobody else can do. The only way you can do that is to tap into your deepest power, your greatest potential. Far too many of us are missing it because we're worried about making a way for someone else. Act like a winner. When I made it to the junior level at Nationals that next year, I was armed with my first triple jump. Things had shifted for me and it showed. I carried myself differently, acted differently, and felt differently about myself. Honestly, I felt like a different person. The shift that had taken place inside of me showed on the outside. People looked at me differently. They started to take me seriously, the way they did the other winners. I skated a strong short program and finished that performance higher on the scoreboard than I ever had, third. Going into the long program, I was feeling good. I was ready to unleash my triple jump. My coach warned me not to practice the triple in warm-up in case I didn't have it, but told me that if I was feeling ready during the performance, that I could go for it. I took his advice and practiced the double. Then, when I came out on the ice to perform the long program, I was on fire. I felt firm and grounded and ready for anything. I got through the first few jumps in my program without any glitches, which built up my confidence. Without thinking too much, I skated as fast as I could down the ice and readied myself for the jump. I mentally checked my form and alignment, set it up, and let it go. For what seemed like an eternity, I hung in the air. Then, without any fanfare, I felt my skates hit the ice. I landed it. The crowd cheered, and I knew what this meant. This was a turning point for me. I wasn't in the losing circle anymore. For the first time, I started to feel like maybe I belonged in the winner's circle. I had something to offer. When you start to act like a winner, you feel like a winner. When you start to feel like a winner, you act like a winner. The pattern of losing has been broken. This isn't a place for those other people. It's a place for you. When you decide to take yourself seriously like this, other people begin to take you seriously too. I won the junior level at Nationals that year and left feeling like $1 million. Not only had I skated to my greatest potential and gotten the trophy to show for it, but I also felt like I had honored my mom's sacrifice to keep me in skating. I was making her proud, and I knew that this was the kind of performance of which I could be personally proud. An entire world of opportunity was opening in front of me. There was only one problem. My parents had already warned me this was my last year of skating. Believe you are worthy of winning. What does a diamond look like when it comes out of the ground? It needs some polishing, some chiseling, and some attention and care. It might not seem like much at first, but with some work, it becomes something of incredible value. You are a diamond. You may need some polishing, some chiseling, but underneath your weaknesses and flaws, you can really shine. Take a look at the people standing where you want to stand. What does that manager, leader, or champion have that you don't have? You can acquire those same skills and abilities. If they seem more worthy than you, it's only because they put in the time and work. We're all like diamonds. You can become precious. You can reveal your priceless qualities. You must find your greatest opportunity for contribution in the world. If you're wondering if you have the qualities and characteristics of a person capable of finishing first, let me tell you how you can know. You are willing to do whatever it takes to get the qualities you need to succeed at fulfilling your purpose. This will make you worthy of facing the next challenge as it comes. And it will. Something amazing happens when you make yourself worthy of winning. The support you need to win starts coming to you. The coaches, the education, the training, the resources, everything you need begins to come to you. When I look back and think about how that year was supposed to be my last year in skating, I can't believe the path that opened for me instead. If I had come in seventh that year at Nationals, I wouldn't have caught the eye of a coach who had a sponsor for me that would keep me on the rink for another year. I wouldn't have any of the things I enjoy in my life now, financial stability, a wife who loves me, and four amazing children. Even if I had attained my greatest result in skating, if I had come in fourth, I never would have caught the attention of the coaches and sponsors who kept me on the ice. But I didn't come in seventh or fourth. I came in first. Finishing first changes everything. Thank God I woke up to the truth about myself when I did. Thank God I made the decision to be a winner that year, to submit to my coaches, to submit to the process, to begin acting like the winner I was. Thank God I decided to go all the way. What will you choose? Chapter 4. Commit to the Long Haul. Success is the sum of small efforts repeated day in and day out. Robert Collier. Several months ago, I had the opportunity to test drive a Tesla. What I learned was that there's a setting on the dashboard called ludicrous speed. Literally, you push a little button that says ludicrous, and the car asks you, would you like to go to ludicrous speed? If you say yes, you can go from 0 to 60 in 2.2 seconds. It's thrilling, and at the same time, it feels a little bit like you're going to lose your lunch. I enjoy driving the Tesla as much as anybody would, but it made me think. In a world driven by modern conveniences, a major obstacle getting in the way of wannabes becoming champions is they expect the process to be fast and easy, like a Tesla. After all, everything in the world is fast and easy. Here's the problem. If you expect winning to be fast and easy, you'll never access your winning potential. In fact, if you can imagine there's a button to get you down the road at ludicrous speed, you'll miss the long, excruciating, and unforgiving road that actually gets you there. It's a journey, a long one, where you don't always know the outcome when you get started. But if you can learn to find joy in the journey, you can't go wrong. The whole point is that your life is built one brick at a time. If you want to learn how to play the piano, you have to start by learning the notes in a scale. You learn one note at a time. Have you listened to someone learning to play the piano recently? They don't start by playing melodies. They start by plunking one key at a time. It doesn't sound all that great, but if you have little ones who are learning to play, you celebrate those tiny successes so that they keep playing.